doing different things about school and work and how they're both similar. So I've got some questions that John and I have talked about and just about some different things with school kids and some things that I think a lot of us, when it comes to work or even just life, some of these things still apply even though we're way past the school age. Some of them, though, are very specific to school, and there'll be things that you want to lean into and listen because you guys have children, grandchildren that could benefit from knowing some of the things that we'll be talking about. So, John, I want to thank you so much for coming and doing this. I know it's kind of an odd thing to go from superintendent to sitting in front of a church of people you don't know. So.
I know some of you. My name is John Hamster. I've been in Southwest Local Schools now for 12 years, 16 in education total. I know I look older than that. I've got three little ones at home, and they were not happy I was leaving this morning to come to a new church without them. I've got an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 2-year-old who's potty training. And for those of you that have little ones or grandkids that are potty training, it's an experience. But all is well. I'm happy to be here. It's an awesome church, awesome sanctuary. And Dusty's been instrumental in our group. So it's exciting to be here. I enjoy it. I like coming out to Miami Town a great deal. I know Mr. Kelly, he was here last week. He set the tone for me. He's got a ton of energy, sometimes too much for me. But he is very passionate about kids. Did he really?
He's pretty all right.
Yeah. I should have been here for that.
So we are excited to have you. And it was really neat sitting there during communion and just sharing communion. Because every Sunday I'm with you guys and we share communion. And I mentioned, you know, think about people that are in Haiti or people that are in India. And we're all sharing communion together as a church. It was just interesting. It was neat to be side by side physically with John and thinking, man, we're sharing communion together. Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and here we have Southwest Local Schools and the church together, so that's really cool. So John, just a couple simple questions to get started. What are the top three social struggles that you notice in elementary school and then into junior high and senior high?
I would say the biggest struggles right now for our kids are, number one, and it's true for elementary and secondary kids, is fitting in. Our kids come from all different walks of life. The diversity here in our schools is not racial, like when I was in school. Now it's more economic. We have kids that live in trailers with dirt floors, and we have kids that live in multi-million-dollar houses. And to see those kids come together can sometimes be challenging. They have different walks, different backgrounds, different experiences. So the fitting in piece is super big, even at the elementary level. Second piece I see is technology. Technology can be awesome. It can, when it works, it's a beautiful thing, and it can also be a serious detriment to our kids and really pushing them to grow up sometimes too fast. That's something that I've noticed a lot lately, and we're looking at doing like a tech-free Tuesday just to see what life is like without having technology there all the time, being on all the time. And
so
the third piece,
out the stones and chisels?
Yes, chisels, paper, the stuff we used to call paper. But a third thing is something that we've experienced for a long time since schools were built, and that's peer pressure. Kids, especially at the older levels, are really being pushed down a path that's scary. Kids are able to find things that when we were kids had to really work for at the tip of their fingers with technology. We have a ton of parents who they'll pay their cell phone and internet bill before they pay their mortgage or their rent. Because kids are that dependent on technology. So that part's been intriguing to me just as the years have gone. Over the years, it's becoming more and more apparent. We have kids in second grade, first grade with cell phones, which is crazy. My son, who's in fifth grade, is mad that we won't give him a cell phone because all his friends have one.
I don't feel bad then.
No, you don't feel bad.
I got third and fourth, and yeah, they're...
Don't feel bad.
So
that part's been big.
Yeah.
In terms of fears, and that was kind of the next thing that...
Three fears. So it was three social struggles and then three fears. I think I shared with you, last week we did a Pray the Kids Back to School Sunday.
Yes.
Pretty awesome service, and I was working on having the card put together. What we did was we had three half sheets, two half sheets and kind of one three-quarter sheet or so. And everyone in the church came forward and signed, or first service we passed out and they signed it. Second service we had them come forward and sign it. And it was a commitment to pray for the kids. And so these are the things that you guys are going to be praying for. On the back of the sheet, Dawn had some prayer suggestions to do. You've got some other things to add to your mind and your heart as you're praying for that. So these social struggles they have. And then, yeah, the next one was three fears. What would you say the three biggest fears would be? Because it'd be a lot different than our fears when we were kids. Mm-hmm. So
I would say one, this, which you guys have out front, I don't know if everyone's picked one up, is awesome and very much needed. This hits the nail right on the head. I was looking at the families here, and obviously we know several of them right offhand. But on the backside, the prompts for students and for schools are right on. The only thing that was missing is superintendent for praying for the schools. Because believe you me, we could use your prayers at our central office as well. The last few weeks have been extremely hard on the schools, on the kids, on the staff, and on us as individuals, because we are people. Sometimes kids see us as superheroes of sorts, and then they see us in normal jeans and shirts, are like, they have to double take you. But we are normal people. We do go to church. We do have a serious faith that matters to us. Communion matters to us. And this is right on. So thank you for doing this. This is huge. And prayer is so powerful. We may not always see it. We may not always know what's happening. But this is big and this is powerful. So thank you for doing this. As far as fears that our kids are experiencing, one, the fear of fitting in is huge, and we see it especially the first week of school. When you go to school, you always wear your new clothes, right? You have your new shoes, and they're white as white can be. You have your new jeans and your new shirts that fit a little different. But that fitting in piece is big. And there are some kids that don't have new shoes, and there are kids that don't have new clothes when they come in. And that gap, I think, is very difficult for some of our kids the first week of school. The other one is the social media backlash, I call that.
Mm. Kids, so like the social bullying and
yes,
things like that, yeah.
Fake accounts being set up. That's something that we spend an inordinate amount of time tracking down, finding out, you know, where the IP address originated from. And we're almost like FBI detectives having to track down social media bullying.
Wow. So you guys are very active in that. I wouldn't have imagined that the school system would be as active as they are, but...
We work with the Hamilton County Sheriff, the Harrison PD, and Butler County Sheriff hand in hand. Sadly, it's come to that, and it shouldn't be that.
How many of you guys had to deal with social media
bullying?
Yeah. See, that's so foreign to us. I didn't even experience it. John didn't even experience that when we were kids 10 years ago. 5 years ago in school, didn't have to deal with it. Well, maybe 5 years ago, I guess. But it's been super recent, within the
Huge.
Past decade.
And there are apps now that the apps are ahead of us as older folks, where they're locking stuff into like calculator apps. So they'll have their calculator app up on their phone solving problems, which is another issue. But they'll have their calculator apps up. But actually, it's a vault for pictures and other different things that are inappropriate for school and in general. So they can hide it from their parents by creating these calculator type apps that you think are, it's just a calculator, but then there's a password to get into this vault, which is kind of all their pictures and videos and stuff that are 100% inappropriate. So that's kind of the part we're dealing with and trying to stay ahead of it. But in terms of fear, that would be a big part. Is there are kids that are fearful of things being made up. You know, back in the day it was rumors. Oh, they're starting rumors about me now.
And those got nasty. I had a big issue with a rumor in junior high, first day of school type thing, and it set the tone for the whole rest of the year, and it was awful. It was the worst school year of my life. It was, and I can't imagine what social media is doing to that.
It's the rumor mill on steroids, because now they can send it, instead of word of mouth, it takes a little bit of time to get the word of mouth going. The telephone, now it's immediate to 500 people, and it's right now. So I think that part is pretty scary for a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. And especially for kids that may stand for something that's different from others, that goes against the mainstream, and religion and faith is one of those. So that would be a big fear, I believe, and something that we see.
Fitting in
social media.
And then
the last one would be our kids' basic needs being met. In certain communities, we have a lot of kids that depend on the schools for food, clothing, and shelter. And this is the best 6 hours, 7 hours of their day. And to see some of these kids that come from pretty extreme poverty, with very little at home. We have kids first, second grade going home to nobody, sometimes spending the night on their own, and then coming to school the next day, which is crazy to think about. But in certain cases, that's happened. So the neglect and the drug abuse by parents is very, very present.
Is that new? Because I don't remember that, and maybe I just didn't see it when I was younger.
I think heroin has really wreaked havoc.
Right. I mean, not just the drug situation, but kids not having anything and coming to school and going home. I remember I went to, and I shared this story with you guys once where I went, I helped chaperone one of their zoo trips with the elementary school. And one of my son's friends, his dad was a PT, a physical trainer, and was big into health and everything. And so we had this third kid that was with our kids that didn't have anybody there with him. And we kept hearing these stories about the movies he was watching, horror movies. Yeah. And he was playing like Grand Theft Auto, which is an awful game, awful, awful game. It's worse than most movies that you could watch. And he was talking about those things, and then he pulls out his lunch, and he pulls out just a bag full of, like, Cheetos, and a bag full of cookies, and a bag full of something else, and I'm watching Neil. His eyes just keep getting bigger and bigger because he's a health nut, and he's like, oh, my goodness. He said, this is what your mom sent with you for give him some protein. He came into my kid, and his kid is like, give him some cheese or something. Give him something, you know, to balance this. And he said, who packed your lunch for you? And he said, I did. And we were just dumbfounded because this was first grade. So this is real, what he's saying. And it's just amazing because I think it's that part is very new. It's not something that we're used to dealing with. And as a church, the things we do and more things that we can do can help that fear. That's an area where we can help, not just through prayer, but through helping to give. So, right.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, three fears. And then now you talked about sharing faith, and that's something that's kind of touchy and kind of – and I'll let John in on a little secret here. I didn't say this to him on Thursday when we had the His City, This City. But when I started putting the questions together, I felt kind of some neat things come up and some different questions come in. And as I put them together, I looked at the list and I thought, okay, this is going to be like throwing a bid at a house or a car, because I expected him to counteroffer because I thought the questions would be too invasive. And when we sat down, he said, these questions are fine. I was like, seriously? Wait, I shot the moon. So anyway, so these are some really interesting things. I'm excited to hear the insight here. So I know in a lot of areas, teachers' hands are really tied when it comes to sharing their faith or their beliefs. And I know I've talked to some teachers that have tried to creatively do some things there. But what about students? What would be some things that we would be shocked to hear that students can do and completely is legit? They can completely get away with it, and it's within the bounds. What are some things there as far as sharing their faith?
A lot of times in the first week of school especially, teachers will ask kids to share poster boards or paper or pictures from the summer, things that speak to what they did and what they're about. And you'd be surprised how many kids go on mission trips in the summer that give to local communities or serve at Matthew 25, and they have photos of that. And they share that piece. They have a cross at the center of their poster board. And they share their faith in that way through more of a service depiction. And it's never shunned or shot down.
Nice.
It's not them preaching to the class. It's them saying, this is what I'm about. This is what I stand for. This is what's important to me. And no teacher can say, you can't tell me that faith is important to you. They do. They share that. So it's not off the table whatsoever in terms of this is what matters to me. Because I think that's something, even when I taught for 5 years in the high school setting, and it was never, and we had multiple faiths in my classroom, a very diverse classroom over on the east side, and never did the kids look at it and say, oh my gosh, this person's preaching to me. So
that's nice. So the advice to kids and your grandchildren, you can share when they have a chance to share about their personal life there, it's especially in Southwest locals.
Right.
We have what is it, Dawn, 7 or 8 districts that we represent here. So I would imagine it'd be the same in other districts where if they get a chance to share about their personal life, it's wide open.
Right.
And so that would be something where you'd say, just go on and open the throttle up and
share. This is what I believe in. This is why it's important to me.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, this is one of the ones where I was like, oh, we're going to get in trouble for this one. But he was like, let's go. We can do this. So if for some reason a student feels like they're right, and we're hearing a bunch about freedom and rights and different things, but the First Amendment, the Amendment of Religion and Expression, if a student feels like that's being taken away by a teacher, faculty member, or whatever, what is a way they can go about to, in a peaceable way, in a respectable way, but to not be silenced, to be able to stand up for that? What would be the route there to go. I mean, you said that it's pretty open, they can talk about things, but if that so happens and they feel like they can't be heard or they're not allowed to be free in that area, what can they do?
Typically, I would say go to the principal and speak with the principal about it and say, here's the scenario, here's kind of what happened, what the situation involved. Is this right or is this not right? And the principal typically, they're used to working with kids and in difficult situations every day and would be the one to kind of speak to it from an authoritative stance. And our principals, Mr. Baker, I don't know if you know Mr. Baker at the high school, he's a great man, he's heavily involved at Church on Fire. So our principals have, and this community is special, I think, you know, I told a friend for the first Veterans Day Assembly, I don't know if you guys have ever gone to that at the Activity Center, we'll have all of our secondary students there. We're talking 1,800 kids and probably 500 to 700 community members and veterans from World War II all the way up to now. And to have those veterans, over 100 veterans recognized every year, they pray at that assembly twice.
During school.
During school. Yeah. And when that happened, the first time I went to it, I kept thinking, in the previous school district I worked in, the ACLU was very involved. And I thought, man, we're getting calls. I told Mr. Brown, I said, we're going to get a call within the hour, and Channel 5 is going to be out here. I hope you're ready for that. I hope you're dressed up, tighten up the tie. And sure enough, after that Veterans Day Assembly, after praying twice, bow your heads, Todd Sams leads it. He's a chaplain for the Army. He leads it, bow your heads. All the kids bow their heads and pray twice during this assembly.
Wow.
And that's when I drove home that day, and the ACLU wasn't following me, and I didn't get a call from Channel 9 that night. I thought, man, I thought, man, this is something special. And I think it's a very unique piece to this community, that faith matters here. That sometimes the state of Harrison is its own, but faith matters. And that was one example to me that really set the tone in terms of what people stand for here and what people are about. And I don't see people jamming religion and faith down others' throats ever. Mm-hmm. They just say, my actions speak soundly. My actions and influence matter. So faith matters.
It's neat to see that from the different churches.
Oh, yeah.
That we're all kind of teaching about the same thing when it comes to that. Because I know I share that. You can talk all you want, but you gotta put in and do it. And action speaks louder than words in a lot of cases. One of the things, and this wasn't a prepped question, so I remember hearing from hearing before that there were teachers and staff members that would seek out the Southwest Local Schools because of the connection that they have through the churches and the faith base. Is that still happening?
Absolutely. I can name one person who's since retired that was really opposed to some of the things we were doing as far as supporting the churches and the churches supporting us. Any given lunch period, I was at the junior high all last week during the lunch hour, and we'd have 4 to 6 youth pastors there talking to kids during lunch. Helping out every day.
Wow.
Helping out, monitor and supervise kids, but also just getting to know the kids. And I would say, you know, that one teacher, we've had one in the 12 years I've been here that was pretty opposed to it and was really upset about it. Saying that there needs to be a separation, and basically we told them to stand down, that we have no problem. Because once we open the door, and I don't know if you've seen in the paper lately, there's this new thing about a satanic cult meeting happening in schools, not here, but in other states. And basically what happens is if we open the doors to religious groups, we open the door to everybody. Either we shut the door to everybody or we open the door to everybody. So if a satanic cult came in and said, we want to have an after-school club, or we want our people to walk around at lunch, when we open the door, we open the door.
Yeah.
So that's the flip side, which is scary. But that's out there. It's been in USA Today and CNN the last couple weeks about this group basically saying, we want to show kids that it's not, that there's another side, which is pretty scary. When I was reading the article, I'm thinking, holy smokes. One place was Texas, which is not a place I'd start if I was that group.
No.
And yet there was one in Pennsylvania also, which was intriguing. So that is gaining. I mean, it's national news, so that's starting to gain a little momentum, which is pretty scary.
Wow. So more church presence, especially if you have some of these other groups coming in, is going to make a big difference.
It does not hurt.
What would be, when it comes to children, students, I'm over 40 now, so I can say children and refer to teenagers. What would sharing their faith, sharing their beliefs, when would they be overstepping their bounds? What's our playing field here? What's in bounds, what's out of bounds? That way our students or your grandchildren, you can share with them, you can do this, but if you do this, it's probably going to be pushing it too far as, we want to share, but we don't want to ruin the avenue.
I think once you move beyond yourself in terms of this is why I believe what I believe, and then condemning other people for believing something different, I think that truly is, really in schools, the line, because there is a separation of church and state. But to say I believe in this and this is why and this matters to me is not overstepping that bound. When you start saying, you believe in Buddhism and that is wrong because X, Y, Z, and I will continue to push Christianity on you, that's where it starts getting dicey in a school setting. Right. If you want to have that conversation in McDonald's or outside of school, that's your prerogative for sure. But in school, that's where it starts. That's really where the line kind of exists.
Okay.
When you start really pushing your faith on others. For me, when you come in my office on my desk, I have a Bible and a journal. I have quiet times in the morning. I get here real early, and that's when I do my quiet times. I can't do it at home because I have three kids hanging on my back. So not much gets accomplished that's quiet during that time. So I come into work, but I have a Bible on my desk. And people come in all the time and say, whoa, why can't I have a Bible there? I also have 500 other books on my bookshelves, but I have one on my desk. So I think the little things carry heavy influence.
Mm.
And as long as you're not pressing your faith on other folks in schools, you're
in
okay.
School. Yeah, I like that. He stressed that a few times in school. So it's kind of like in the old days, if you wanted to get busy with someone, you had to invite them out to the
go to the park. Don't do it here.
So it's the same thing with our faith. So if we want to share, you can share your faith in who you are and your actions and your personal experiences, but to share, to proselytize, to use a word, right. I think you guys would be familiar with that word. That has to happen off campus. Do you know of, and you mentioned something earlier, any kind of how high level or how active the harassment is towards students, either student to student, or even, you mentioned that one faculty member had a problem with it. Mm-hmm. Is that high in our schools as far as the harassment towards,
Not that I've seen, straight edgers or whatever they want to call them, kids that stand for something faith-based. I have not seen people overtly criticized or condemned, or kids haven't come to us saying they're ragging on me because of my faith. When I was a principal at the middle school for 4 years, I did not have one single instance of that.
Wow.
I was a high school assistant principal for 3 years prior to that, and I don't recall really any situations that stick out where kids felt being harassed because of what they believe in.
So it's wide open. So just, yeah. So I think we need to encourage our kids, grandkids, whatnot, to throttle up. If we have this kind of opportunity in the school system, which isn't everywhere, then we need to take advantage of that. I know when I was growing up, they had like FCA, mm-hmm. so Fellowship of Christian mm-hmm. Athletes. Mm-hmm. What groups exist like that kids can get involved in that can get that group support, like a church support, but within students in the school? Or what are the avenues you've heard about that other students have started in other schools that hasn't happened yet in Southwest?
The two that we have currently, we have one at the junior high called Wildlife, which is a kind of a junior high version of Young Life, which we have at the high school as well. So Wildlife and Young Life, I'd say, are probably the two most prominent that I see. Our Wildlife folks are around at lunchtime and at school dances all the time. Athletic events, they're there after school when kids are getting on the buses. Young Life, most of you have probably heard of Young Life. That's been in high schools for some time. And those are probably the two most prominent. The other piece is most churches have a pretty lively youth group. And I hear kids talking about, hey, are you going to youth group tonight? And it's kind of like a thing to do, like on Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday nights. Fifth quarter happens after football games at the church next door to the junior high up there. So it gives kids a safe place to go after football games instead of parties or what have you.
Right.
To go spend time there, and they do like the Blitz, Channel 5 Blitz, like the football highlights, and they have ping pong and pool and snacks and stuff for kids. And I think fifth quarter turned into something way bigger than they thought it was going to be.
Oh, wow, so that's heavily attended.
It's
then.
Heavily. When awesome. Kids were going over, they're like, how many kids should we expect? Like 50? I said, get ready.
And that's United Methodist, the Methodist Church.
Yep.
You guys know where? Okay.
The church right next door to the junior high across the street there. So it's heavily attended, and kids look for those outlets. I think from what I see now, the drinking and the alcohol and the drugs are not as big now as it was 5 years ago. I think they're starting to see the pendulum starting to swing back a little bit in terms of that being the cool thing to do.
That's really cool.
Not completely. Don't get me wrong. There are kids that are doing drugs. There are kids that are drinking often. But I don't see it as wide scale as we once did a couple years ago. So
well, John, I really appreciate you coming out and sharing with us. And we got we'll have you for second service also. And
great.
We'll see how that'll be. Things always change a little bit. So a lot of these things can be presented. So if you can, just give John a hand for me, and I'll let you return back to your seat. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you.